Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you again on another beautiful Sunday morning. I tell you what, the weather has just been fantastic. There is a little bit of crispness in the air with the frost and everything that's coming on, but it's still at the same time in the state of Iowa. It doesn't get any better, and it doesn't get any more beautiful outside. But with that being said, I just want to bring you up to date on a few things before we jump into our teaching this morning. I just want to remind everyone that we do have send out devotionals 6 days a week for both men and women. And we have 5 different writers for the men that write, and then my wife writes for Vital Life. She writes 6 days a week as well. So if you want that extra nugget every day, I encourage you to go to vitalministries.org, check it out, and just some good stuff. And also, too, like any season, we're always dependent on giving. And, you know, we didn't send anything out on what they would call this past week Giving Tuesday. We didn't feel that that was, we knew there'd be enough being sent to you already without adding to that. But again, we just want to ask if it'd be so inclined, if you got some extra at the end of the day, if you would be so considerate to and prayerfully consider having Vital Ministries as a donation this year, we would greatly appreciate that very much. So thank you so much for being in prayer about that, and just do as the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Also, too, we want to thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9 FM this morning. As you're traveling down the highway today, I'm sure that we have some really good stuff for you to listen to and your travels, and maybe it's your holiday weekend for you as your families are getting together. But I want to thank you for listening, and many of you tell me that, hey, Mike, I listen to you every Sunday on the way to church. Thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you for those that are at home listening as we all combat the virus and the things that's going on. We're all in different places in this season. It's this Christmas, without a doubt, with like Thanksgiving, will look different. But again, it's the holiday season, and Christmas is in full swing. And of course, like all of 2020, it will look different as well. Parades won't be watched, and you'll simply drive by them. That's something different. That's what they're doing in Oskaloosa, a drive-by parade, as opposed to standing and let them drive by you. And it's because we're asked not to gather. And I think that's a good thing. But again, it's kind of disheartening in this Christmas season of some of those things being not being available. Many churches have already canceled, or they have changed their Christmas Eve services, all due to COVID-19. We continue hearing, don't gather for the holidays, yet people are buying plane tickets to travel like none other. And that's part of the risk, but I believe with all that's within me, each person has their own place of where they are with the COVID-19, so we want to honor that as well. But to be honest, the holiday season is being based, in my opinion, a lot of things with fear. Fear is a way of controlling to motivate us to be in a certain lifestyle or go a certain direction. I recently traveled to Colorado Springs over Thanksgiving, and everywhere we stopped, mask requirements were in place. You could not enter. They said simply you had to have a mask to walk in, even to fuel up your vehicle and whatnot. And that, I'm not saying that is bad, but what I am saying, those requirements and restrictions were in place. And I also noticed that people wouldn't, this is the big thing. I noticed that people wouldn't look at each other in the face. People looked down, heads were down, masks on. But you can draw your own conclusion as you think about how that might be. But I think our lifestyles are very much changing. See, fear was much the lifestyle when Jesus was being born. King Herod feared anyone who would contest his power or reign. He would even try to convince the wise men, as we'll see in Matthew chapter 2, to report to the baby's coming so he could induce fear, so every male newborn 2 years or younger would be killed. Don't think that doesn't bring fear into a lifestyle or into a home. As this Christmas season was coming, I believe that the Holy Spirit wanted me to look first as the first return of Christ, or our celebrated Advent season, but change it up a little bit. We will look at the Christmas story of Christ's first return, but to looking also to a greater extent of what we're going to call our teaching series, Second Return. We will begin a 4-week teaching called The Second Return, and to me that brings excitement, and to possibly think about Jesus Christ as he returns. Matter of fact, there is a promise that is made in Acts 1, 6 through 11. And I want to read that to us this morning. Here's this promise. And it's just some good stuff as we look at the Christmas story and they continue as we look at the second return as well. But as I go through these pages here this morning, we're going to look at, again, chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. It says this. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore the kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit that comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling the people everywhere in Judea and alike. Now this is a pretty interesting text, but at the same time I want to move to Acts chapter 6. And I want to show you something a little bit there this morning as we look at what Jesus was doing as he was standing there. But back to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking, Lord, when is the time coming? And Jesus made this response. He says, again, time is being replaced and it's coming in a certain time and when he will be there. And I think that's so important for us to realize that Jesus is coming again. But again, I want us to notice that most of the men were in Galilee. This is interesting. They were looking up into heaven, and Jesus is now in heaven. But someday he will return, and the second return is what brings us hope in the year of 2020. Today we are going to look at the second return, and we will be talking about dreams and visions. Some people might be asking, does God still give visions or dreams to people today? And the answer, without a doubt, is yes. We'll start this morning and look at the first return of how God talked with Joseph, Jesus' stepdad, about his birth, and it all began in a dream. So let's get started this morning. I want to encourage you to open up, if you're at home today, I want you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to start there, and we're going to look at a dream and a vision that was given to Joseph with the Christ child. And it says, this is how Jesus was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, he was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and his name will be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message to the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Now, here's some pretty tough things, though, as we looked at. First of all, we see, without a doubt, in my mind, Joseph is in a tough spot with his fiancée. He is engaged to be married to Mary herself. But out of something unusual, and he doesn't know all the connections, doesn't know the full story, Mary is now pregnant. Now, in my mind, that is without a doubt to me a big thing and a tough spot for Joseph himself. See, any man that's dealing with the situation before his bride gets married and finds out that she's about to have a baby and he has not had sexual relationship with her is thinking, this is coming from someone else. She has laid with another man. But see, Joseph, what I like about this, if you look deep into what was written, it says that Joseph was a good man of character and man of integrity. And in that character, he chose to protect Mary. He wanted to break off the engagement quietly with no disgrace. Now, don't you find this interesting? Because I think this is really, really a neat place where we see the heart of Joseph as being a man of God at the same time. He doesn't have all the answers to what's happened. Him and Mary have not connected and found out why she truly was pregnant. things have not been said. But yet, he doesn't want to disgrace her, because back in Old Testament times, a woman who got conceived or got pregnant by another man could literally get stoned to death, taking outside the town or the city and being stoned. He did not want that for Mary. Now, I find it interesting. So God sees all this stuff that's going on and wants to make sure that Joseph understands. So he brings a dream and a vision to Joseph when he's asleep. There's some interesting things that that we can see out of this dream. Number one, it says this. As he calls to Joseph, he calls out Joseph, who he is. He says, Joseph, son of David. He's affirming who Joseph is, his lineage. That's the first thing he does. He directs it. He doesn't give Joseph an answer yet. He calls Joseph to manhood. I love this portion of it because, again, Joseph is a man of character. He's a man of integrity. And a lot of times I think it's really, really important as men, as we call out to God and men to with other men, it's important to call each other out in the sense of character and integrity. You know, if we could say that myself, I would be called Michael from Oskaloosa, son of Phil and Carolyn Sarig. That is my character. That is my integrity. That is my background and my lineage. And it speaks to my manhood of who I am and where I came from. See, this was important for Joseph because Joseph was the seed length to the Messiah. And that's what God was trying to place in the heart of Joseph. You are the seed length, even though your seed is not in Mary, but in marrying her, you will raise Jesus as your son. Now, a lot of people have a hard time thinking this question, that Joseph was actually the stepdad of Jesus, not his maternal father. He wasn't, because obviously, without a doubt, Mary and Joseph did not have sexual relationship. The Holy Spirit mysteriously conceived with inside of Mary. And that's what it was all prophesied, and that's why the importance of Jesus, of who he is. But second thing we find out is this. He says, God, the angel tells him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She was pregnated by the Holy Spirit, simply a ministry. See, I love this because God continues to work. He works in ministry and in mystery at the same time. And that's what he was doing when he had the Holy Spirit overcome Mary so that Jesus would be born. And I love that sometimes because we always want to find out answers, don't we? Especially in times like this. We always want to know the fear. In order to get the fear, we want to have the answer so we're no longer fearful. But sometimes I believe without a shadow of a doubt, God simply works in the mysterious things so he can show his glory, because we don't understand all the time. And I think there's a purpose in that. And we're going to discuss that a little bit later on this morning. But I think that's significant in Joseph. The third thing is this. He tells Joseph his name. You are named to name the child Jesus. He will be the savior of his people. See, this is a fulfillment of prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, 14. It says this. The virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. See, God is really up to a lot of work here that's going on inside of a dream. And in a dream that takes place, will change the trajectory for Joseph all of his life because of his influence on the father's son, Jesus, which is also, he will be a stepfather and raise him as his own. See, God is at work big time in here. And it's important for us that he's the same way with us as he works in dreams and visions in our own lives. And we'll talk about that a little bit more this morning. The fourth thing we find out is as Joseph wakes up from the dream, he takes Mary as his wife. He doesn't question. He doesn't change anything. And the other thing that I find interesting, because you can find the credibility in the good. He abstains from having sexual relationships with Mary. Because he wanted to make sure without a doubt that Jesus came from the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man. And out of that, God visited him in a dream and made some incredible things. Which brings me to part number two. And I'm really excited about that because a lot of times people will say, well, Mike, I think dreams and visions only were encountered. Matter of fact, there are actually umbrella of mercy here. There's actually people that speakers will tell us that no longer happens. I disagree with that because the Bible shows us clearly that God still speaks through us through the Holy Spirit in dreams and visions. And I'm going to show you one of those this morning. My point number two is this, the dream of Dutch Sheets. This past Tuesday night, a man by the name of Dutch Sheets had a dream. A dream was inspired by another man's dream by the name of Clay Nash for a prayer initiative to happen, that each state would form the next state and go into a time of prayer early morning of December 1st. See, this dream was created in Dutch Dreams, a prophet of the Lord, on November 28. In his dream, he sees a clock tower, and it shouted at him at 3 a.m., Valkyrie will fall and will not sing, if the sons of the kingdom will not pray. A fervent prayer that would take place in the night, and it caused so that it would cause the witchcraft and the curse to bounce back to the sender. Now you might be saying, Mike, where are you going with this? I'm going to encourage you to stay with me because I got a direction for us this morning. The dream is built and it continues, and it's so that a group of warriors would awaken in the night, clothed in battle array, who were surrounded and led by the host of angels. And one of the angels declared repeatedly, the commanders and judgments are supreme. It energized the warriors and joined into the declaration. They saw the scales of justice tip because perfectly they were not balanced. What the dream was about and what the vision is and what the prayer was at was called the prayer of Valkyrie. Valkyrie means this. Valkyrie chooses of the fallen or slain. In Norseman mythology, there was a goddess who decided to be slain on the battlefield. The historic meaning of the Valkyrie is the German soldiers who tried to assassinate Hitler were actually called Valkyrie. These men devised a plan to overtake Germany. The Valkyrie means, in the simplest definition, a plan to take over a country. Now, here's where the dream comes into place, because the Holy Spirit spoke in a dream to this man, Dutch Sheets. Dutch Sheets believed his dream represented a prayer for all 50 states on December 1st to pray from 12:30 in the morning to 3 a.m., that America would pray to take back the stealing of the votes of the presidency, that it would be taken back. Now, this is interesting. So the time for Iowa to pray was at 12:54. I felt so compelled by this that I started texting people that we are called to get up on Monday evening, late in the night at 12:54 Central Time, and pray for 3 minutes. See, why do I think this dream is so significant? For the second return, the answer lies in Isaiah 14:27. The Lord of the heaven's armies has spoken. Who can change his plans? When his hand is raised, who can stop him? This is the Lord. See, God the Father directs the nations for Jesus' return. And I believe it's time for us as a people. No greater time than this, as we wait expectantly for the second return of Christ. Yes, without a doubt, we want to celebrate this Christmas season. We want to put up the Christmas trees. We want to have the feast. We want to have the presents and all of that. But I think without a shadow of a doubt, it's a calling to us, as I think of the Valkyrie prayer, and I prayed that prayer on that Monday late evening, early into the Tuesday morning. And I got to be honest with you, folks, I had set my alarm, and I woke up at 12:54, and I woke up groggy. I was tired. At times, I was sitting there looking at my computer, actually reading the Valkyrie prayer. And I tell you what, I didn't see any flashing lights. I didn't have any sense of anything. But what I did sense was this, sometimes I think too often as Christians, we go around and put our thumb on our pulse, thinking that in order to move us, there's always got to be emotion or things behind it. And sometimes I believe without a shadow of a doubt, you simply do things because it's out of obedience to do it. And that sometimes that's how our faith is. Sometimes, I don't know about you, there's dry seasons in a Christian's life. I've had dry seasons when there's times I don't feel the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say that again. There's times in every Christian's life where you won't feel something, but you got to know. And I think that's a little bit of what Joseph was being told from the angel. He didn't feel anything. He's sitting there absolutely bewildered on what to do. He doesn't know. So he wants to be a good man. So he wants to simply allow a divorce decree with his fiance, Mary. But there was a dream. And I want to encourage you in the midst of the things and the array of everything that's going on with us and around our nation and around our world, there is a lot of stuff coming down. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of absolutely unknown. But this is where I want to encourage us as Christian believers. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, we should position ourselves in two ways. Number one, being in prayer. I think being in prayer is as crucial as it's ever been. As much as you get up in the morning to have breakfast or to have lunch, is vital to our bodies to do that, isn't it? Humanly, we do. We need it. We need the nutrition. We need it to go on, just simply like breath in our lungs. I think we need to be in prayer in a great way for the as we wait expectantly for the second return, and also too at the same time that God will lead us as a nation to the direction he so sees fit. The second thing I think that's important for us to do as a nation is to worship. I think more than ever, we need to get, because you, I find this interesting. If you look in the book of Joshua, when Joshua was taking back the land from the Canaanites and all those different people that were in the promised land, what did they do first? They worship. Matter of fact, when the walls of Jericho came down, it all came to drums, dancing and singing to the Lord, blowing trumpets, is when the walls fell. I believe the same thing needs to occur for us. As we sit with the unknown of not understanding everything that's going on right now, even in the midst of our own nation, that it's a time to pray and it's also time to worship. And many of us, you know, some of us aren't going to church due to the fact that because of COVID-19. Some churches are not meeting because of COVID-19. Some people are simply staying home because they just want to make sure, going the extra mile, that they don't get it. Everybody's in a different place in this season of 2020. I tell you what, 2020 will go down as a year marked with mystery and, I believe, fear at the same time. But at the same time, could it not be the brightest hour as we look back? I oftentimes remember as my parents talked about the Great War and the World War II. The time of the Great Depression was going on and the war and everything seemed absolutely crazy. They actually believed at their time, a dark hour, that they believed that Hitler himself was the Antichrist, that the end of the world was coming. But the problem was not everything was set in place yet. We're going to talk about that next week. Israel had not yet become a nation. The people had not returned home yet. But it was a precursor of all that to happen. God used World War II in order to establish what needed to happen next. And I believe he's doing that with us today. He's establishing, and with all, because God isn't a God of chaos, is he? No, he is not. He is a God of direction, and he gives us strength in the midst of chaos in our lives. So I encourage you today as Christians, as believers, now is the time to pray. If you are so called by the Holy Spirit to get up in the late hours and pray, you pray whatever the direction. I love it as I get on the different things about the prophets and as I listen to what is being spoken. And it's very important to be listen to the Holy Spirit because not all of them are speaking exactly what I believe what God would have them say. So we got to be careful of what we're listening to. But I pray without a doubt that God would reset America. That we will come to a time that we'll experience the third great awakening. That America will turn to its ancient paths and foundations, including being a voice of the gospel of the kingdom to all the earth. And America's heart will be captured once again by the Father, Yahweh. That is the direction, without a doubt, in my mind, that the Lord is directing us today. Set aside all policies of political issues, the COVID-19, all those things. This is what I believe without a shadow of doubt that the God the Father is doing is resetting in order to establish the second return. It's the beginning of the preparation. We know without a shadow of doubt the tribulation is coming. We read that throughout the New Testament, and also too we read that in the book of Revelation. Not unlike what we read in the Old Testament with the Jewish nation went through as well. Why should it be any different? But I believe it's not time yet. I believe things are being set. I also believe there will be a day. I believe without a doubt that I trust what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me and also to what I'm hearing in the prophetic. I trust it. It's a mystery. So I encourage you today. Will you be that man and woman who will set aside, that will allow you to allow through you to be a portion of the resetting? Because we know there's always a remnant within God's people. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, again, and we want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity as we look and we celebrate your birth, first advent, for when you first came to this world. But also too, Jesus, we wait with expectancy of your second return. I pray that we would truly reset, not only as a nation, but you would reset us individually. Because if it's going to reset a nation, it starts with us. It starts with us as people. If there is going to be a third great awakening, let the awakening begin in me. Let the awakening begin in the people who are listening today. That we'll go back to our ancient paths and the foundations. That we will be a part of the voice of the gospel to allow the kingdom of heaven, as it is here on earth, to be established. That you will capture our hearts once again. We thank you, Yahweh. We thank you, Jesus, Yahshua, for being our Savior, for being our Lord. In your precious holy name I pray. Amen. Folks, I'm really excited about this teaching series as we look at Second Return. You won't want to miss next week as we look at week 2. And we're going to go into a little bit deeper about some of those dreams and the visions and also the prophetic. But we're also going to look at the wise men and the story that they had in the place of the first advent and how God is still establishing wise men today in his second return. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.